Welcome to episode 55 of Vowel at Base Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English language Vowel at Base Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, and usually unprepared. But joining me today is Matt and Jeff. And gentlemen, we had to be prepared today because probably the biggest news since we've started podcasting took place. It's either that Sasha Kalajic is gone or that you two are going to be on the podcast together at the same time. Jeff, how does it feel to be with, well, sharing airspace with Matt?
Well, no idea that Sasha was gone, but I would have been more excited, lost sleep about actually meeting Matt for the first time face to face. I've heard Matt, but I've never seen Matt. This is goosebumps, Travis, literal goosebumps.
It's Matt, how do you feel with this hero worship?
Overdue, well-deserved. I feel like we've been hearing rumors about Sasha leaving for a while now, but the Matt and Jeff combo pod, this is brand new. We're just bringing it on everybody. So I think this is the bigger news.
Wow, this is going to draw some numbers.
The platform we use gives an analysis of when people tune in and when they tune out. I've got a pretty good guess how this one's going to end. All right, gentlemen, we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to start with headlines. Then we'll talk about the match. Then we'll look forward to the Schalke match just because of all the news that broke. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Let's get going.
All right. All right. So usually we start with a breakdown of the match itself, but huge news broke this morning that Sasha Kalajic is no longer wearing the blue string, that he is moving on to the Premier League, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Let's just talk on that one right away. Matt, I'll start with you first. Just your initial thoughts when you heard the news.
Not surprised. We've been waiting to hear this for a while. It's been rumored that he was moving on to an EPL team for some time. Wolverhampton has been splashing some money around the last couple of years in an effort to try and catch up to the big boys and get into a solidly mid-table, pushing for European championship kind of status. So not wholly surprised.
And Jeff, you said you just heard the news from it as an outsider. He was basically a direct competitor, I would think, with Stuttgart, your club clone. How does the news sit with you?
Well, I did hear the news before, but I think I was so overwhelmed with Matt on the pod with me today that I just forgot about the little things. But I'm actually a little surprised. I did hear the rumors about Sasa all summer long, really, and I knew he'd be gone. I kind of thought they would keep him at least till the winter transfer window, being that they kind of held on to him for the first few weeks. So I was a little surprised it happened this week, but I think everybody kind of knew it was coming eventually.
Yeah, let me break down some of the info here. So he is going to be moving to Wolverhampton, who is in the relegation zone right now in the Premier League. He's only 1 hour away from Nottingham Forest and his old buddy Aurel Mangala. So there's some good news there. The news is that we got somewhere between 18 to 25 million for Kalajic going, and we'll talk about that more in a second. So here's where all the drama happened. Kalajic had agreed in principle with Wolverhampton and requested not to play in this weekend's match against Cologne. Kicker wrote this. This is Kicker's words. Quote, he was mentally incapable of helping the team is what he told Sven Mislintat and Pellegrino Matarazzo. And Pellegrino pointed it out in an interview that he had to accept if the player wasn't ready, he wasn't going to play him. The bid, though, was too low. And Mislintat said that we won't let him go for what they offered at this point, which was 15 million. And this is where it gets weird. So Kalajic refused to play against Cologne. And Kicker wrote this again, quote, a boycott of the club, the team and the supporters. It was a slap in the face to those responsible who have always protected the attacker against everyone and everyone until the end. However, there will be friendly words again as parties attempt to say goodbye. The window closes Thursday. Matt, let's start with you. I want to break down the Kalajic news based on his departure from the club, what we see his future in the Premier League like, and what we think of the player himself. So how do you think this departure was handled?
Not well. This is really, the news from Kicker is really surprising. That sounds very uncharacteristic of Sasa and very unlike what we've seen of him. I have no reason to think that they're making it up, but it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, especially for a guy who's hit all the right chords throughout his entire career. with Stuttgart here. The thing that's interesting, a lot of people are comparing this to Borna Sosa, who is also linked to another club, but he did not ask to sit out the match. And they've been comparing Kalajic's situation to Borna's situation and how Borna has handled it more professionally than Kalajic did. Jeff, you've gone through this with your club with Anthony Modeste a couple of times. What are your thoughts on it?
It is kind of surprising that it kind of shaped up the way they just described. We lost our Aussie, our best player, only striker as well. And I think it was, it was tough. And the way things went down with us, we kind of saw, the writing on the wall, as well. And it was just a matter of, when and not if. We knew it was going to happen. And it kind of happened, I think, the morning of our first game of the season. So it was a bit surprising on the timing. I'm not surprised. It just, like I said, something doesn't sit well with the way that shook out with Sosa. I kind of thought it would be a little bit different of a kind of a going away party, so to speak, for him. But so a little disappointing, and I think that, like I said, Sosa does seem to be handling this a little bit better, but you never know what's going on the inside either.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of things that we don't know about.
Yeah. From what I've read on the Twitter machine, which is fun to try to read, a limit of 140 words that are in German, is that he has an agent that a lot of people seem to not be too keen on. And the agent has kind of taken over the situation and essentially forced Stuttgart's hand. And a lot of people are kind of blaming Kalajic for not taking more ownership of this situation, similar to what Borna did. I just think it was so weird, Matt, you and I talked about this earlier, that the market was so bizarre this summer, in part because the transfer window was different than it usually has been, because the World Cup is in a different spot than it usually is, that you had a lot of clubs that just didn't know what they were doing. And so we're dealing with something that we should have dealt with a month ago. But I think it's just such an unknown and new situation. I don't really blame anybody. I mean, we all thought Kalajic was going to be gone way sooner than this. And the fact that we got 3 games and 3 assists out of him this season is probably a surprise. The departure is disappointing, but I find it better than a Mark Oliver Kempf departure, or I don't know if we can go in a single episode without making fun of that poor guy, or a Benjamin Pavard parting where they hung on too long. And that wasn't good for the club.
And Mark Oliver Kempf, actually played pretty well this weekend, I think, Travis. So continue, Matt. I'm sorry. I got to defend the guy. I'm sorry.
He got hurt and got pulled out.
That's pretty well. That's not bad. Hey, they took him out. That's actually a plus.
Addition by subtraction.
That's right.
I got to wonder, the thing about Sosa's agent's really interesting. And anybody who's a big sports fan has seen this happen with other players in other leagues. And I wonder too, how much Wolverhampton was putting pressure. We're about to spend a lot of money for this guy. We don't want him playing this weekend. And I think it would have been better if that was the case, if they had just said that. We're obviously speculating now, but I could see Wolverhampton wanting to protect their investment. I think Kalajic is going to do really, really well in the European League or the English League. I think they tend to give huge strikers like him a little more space. The defenders don't play quite as physical as we see in the Bundesliga. I can see it from all sides. It is disappointing. It sucks. Sosa has been such a positive piece of this club for so long, to have it end anyway, but us celebrating him moving to a different opportunity that he's excited about doesn't feel great.
Right. I mean, the departure could have been handled differently, I suppose. I think part of it is that Stuttgart was just in a bad negotiating position. His contract ran out at the end of this season. He clearly had expressed interest in going. He wasn't being a malcontent in any form or fashion. I think this was becoming a distraction. The Premier League teams knew they could get him at a little bit below market value. So what we're going to find out, I guess, as the days go on, is exactly what kind of market value we got. Officially, it was reported 18 million euro, but there's bonuses included in that that could bring it closer to his market value of about 25 to 27 million. And in that case, Sven said we want 25 million for him. And if that's what we're going to get, let's talk about his future for a second. Yeah, I'm really excited for him. I mean, now that this is over with and we can all move on, which is good for everybody, I'm excited he didn't go to Bayern Munich, to be honest. I just, even Dortmund, I'm excited. I am not a Premier League fan. I watch the Bundesliga and that's all I watch. With Mangala over there and now with Kalajic over there, I might tune into some of those matches now to see. I mean, I'm excited that he's moving on to the biggest league in the world. You can make an argument like some people on Twitter did that is Wolverhampton actually that big of a club? I don't know. I know they've got a lot more money than we do though. So I'm excited about his future. Let's move on to the player himself and maybe your best memory of him. Jeff, you're a Cologne fan, but you watch a ton of Stuttgart matches. Just final thoughts on Kalajic, any memories that stick out to you, anything, you know, if he was listening to this, it's disappointing because we won't be able to see him in Texas now in November, but any memories or any thoughts on Kalajic as we move on?
But he gave it everything he had to stave off elimination. And I think that's, you know, really when it comes down to it, what I'll remember the most. And like you said, I don't watch Premier League either. They seem to get a lot of our big boys and to echo you, what you said, I'm glad he didn't go to Bayern either as if they need another player. But, you know, it'd be nice to see him succeed and play well and help his squad. And, you know, you don't wish anything bad upon him. I mean, like I said, if you're going to leave, in some ways, I'd rather have him go to a club that you're never going to play.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, my memories of him is I don't blame him for the departure. I honestly, if he was mentally checked out, as much as I think he could have helped us against Cologne, I don't think a guy who's going 50% is going to actually help us. Now, you could argue that Luca Pfeiffer at 100% didn't help us either. But if he was mentally checked out, I do have to give him a little bit of praise for that. Why fake it? And why put yourself out there when you're not going to go full bore? My memories are going to be kind of odd. I'm going to remember the fans carrying him off the pitch after that last match day victory against Cologne that saved our season and how happy he was. I'm going to remember him celebrating other players scoring goals like he had scored those goals. I always remember how excited he got no matter who scored. And I think, Matt, this for you and I is especially heartwarming. I'm always going to remember the man crush, boy crush, fan crush that he and Borna Sosa had after one of their assist cross goals when they would embrace each other. And you're just like, that just beautiful. The sport Freund, Borna and Sasha. So I'm going to miss that stuff. I wish him nothing but the best. I got a lot of good memories of it. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, the biggest disappointment with him leaving is that he and Sosa aren't going to the same place.
I know.
Because, man, yeah, it'd be fun to see the two of them both go to Wolverhampton and continue to wreck fools and just have so much fun together doing it. They're such an odd pairing, too. Kalajic looks like a nerdy giraffe, and Sosa looks like this cool surfer guy. And you would never pair them together, and yet they are so good together and work so well together. Yeah, the celebrations really of his teammates are really what I'm going to miss the most with Sasha. It's not often you get a guy that talented who's as excited about his teammates' success as he is about his own.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention he has such a unique running style too. Yeah. He looks like he doesn't look like he's moving his arms with his legs. He just looks like he's running with his arms straight down. So I'm going to miss that too. When all is said and done, he played 60 games for us, 24 goals, 12 assists. He had 3 games this year, 3 assists this year. Here's what's fun. Sven Mislintat joined the club in April of 2019 and signed Kalajic from the Austrian League in July of 2019. Any guesses, Jeff, how much Sven signed him for back then in 2019?
God, that guy's brilliant. I'm going to say probably 2.
Bingo, 2 million.
Yeah. So
if the bonuses are correct and we're able to get somewhere between 25 to 27, I mean, come on, 3 years later, you turn $2 million into 24.
That's a pretty good return on your investment for sure.
Not a bad return at all. Speaking of transfer market value, Jeff, before we move on to our next part, who is the highest rated Cologne player, do you think?
Skiri.
Well done. 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah. Matt, who do you think the next highest rated Stuttgart player is?
Florian Muller.
Borna Sosa. Borna Sosa, 25. And then Silas and Dino are at 16. These are all according to Transfer Mark, which gets a lot of credibility for doing things pretty close to the actual numbers there. So we'll see what happens. We'll deal with Sasha's situation here in a minute. But as we move on to our next part, Kalijic, Sasha, if you're listening to this, what are you doing? Number one. And number two, thanks for the memories. It was a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to seeing how you're doing up in England. So let's move on to our next part. Who's ready to talk about the big match?
Oh, man. We might as well get it over with. Let's just get it over with.
We're going to our usual part one, where we're going to talk about the match. Everybody knows it was a 0-0 draw, which was odd because this weekend had goals all over the place, except for in Cologne with this match. The last eight matches, it was 4 wins to 3 losses for Stuttgart, but Anthony Modeste was gone. Sasa Kalajic was gone.
You know, I the depth of our squad is what's missing. So I was a little bit, I think I text you, cautiously pessimistic. I think, you know, going into the match, I think realistically a draw, I would have been at the beginning satisfied with. But once, you know, you realize that Sauce isn't playing, I think I would have been happy with the draw going into the week. I do think you have the more talented club. But again, missing Sasa was a huge advantage that I thought we could take advantage of in that game. And
yeah, I was texting you and I started the week crazy optimistic because most of our lineup was going to be solid. You guys are coming off that Thursday match that you had to win to advance. I thought we were going to catch you guys gassed out. But as the week was getting closer, when the Borna Sosa news started to hit that he might not play, and then the Kalajic news hit that he would not play, and the Thiago Tomas was sick again for the second match in a row, I became very pessimistic about this one and was just hoping for a point because of all that. Matt, where were you at?
I mostly had my head in the sand before the game, so I didn't know everybody was out sick due to things until Sunday morning. So I was feeling pretty optimistic, and I was really hopeful that we would catch a tired Cologne team with maybe playing some backups. And if nothing else, that would get some of our guys, even with when I did see that Sasa was out, I was like, oh, this will give Pfeiffer a chance to prove himself. Not a big deal, especially against a team that should be tired, should be, you know, on fumes by halftime. It'll be fine. And it was not.
Well, it started off. Let me throw this out there. So Kicker wrote this. The Swabians should have felt like the winners after this game. Matt, do you agree or disagree with that statement?
Oh, totally. I think it should have been 4-1 at the end.
And Jeff, here's another statement from Kicker. It said, after the final whistle, there was agreement on three things. That Stuttgart had been the better team for long stretches, that the red card had changed everything, and that they were too careless with their own chances. Sven Mislintat said, if we play 11 against 11, we win. We had the game under control. Even when we were outnumbered, we had chances. You're a Cologne fan. Agree or disagree with the optimism on the Stuttgart side?
I agree. The only thing I disagree with is I think you mentioned, Matt mentioned how the Schwabians felt like they won that game. I think as a draw, I think they would feel like they lost that game because they, you know, Stuttgart outplayed Cologne. And I think if you watch a game, it's easy to see that. And I think a draw outcome has to feel like a loss. So yeah, I mean, did they deserve to win that game? They certainly did. And so does a draw feel like a loss? I imagine it probably does.
I'm going to split the middle here. I think this is almost exactly like the Bremen match 2 weeks ago, where it's a tale of two halves. That first half, Stuttgart came out on fire. And if not for, and we'll talk about this in a second. If not for your goalkeeper having another fantastic match, we win that first half. But then Luca Pfeiffer has that red card early in the second. We're playing a man down. Bayern Munich is the only team I know that can play a man down and still curb stomp you. So it's almost like there was two halves. Based on the first half, we should have won. But based on the second half, I was happy to get a point with that one. The thing that I keep, and Matt, let me ask you about this, because I keep coming back to this idea that every flipping week, we run into some goalkeeper who decides that he's going to make the kicker team of the week and have the best game of his season. The last two times we played against Schwebe, the Cologne goalkeeper, his kicker rating is the best rating you can possibly get, a 1. He got another 1. He was the player of the match. So is it bad finishing, or is it just we're running into everybody's goalkeeper having the best game of their lives?
Probably a combination of the two. There were a couple balls that that Silas had in real tight that he did not finish well on. And the keeper made a play, and credit to him. And I wouldn't have given him a one in that game. I'd have given him a negative 10. He was just everything that he could get to, he got to. It's about all you can ask for your keeper. But he played really well, but I want more and I expect more out of our attackers in the finishing.
Yeah, we had multiple chances. Dino had a great header 5 minutes in, and Silas had, by my count, 4 chances, 2 great chances. Jeff, you mentioned, it sounds like you agree with Matt a little bit, when we were watching mid-game, you're like, the goalkeeping was great, but one or two of those Silas chances, he's got to convert. He just didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned later on that Silas is going to start shooting the rest of the game. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter if he's at the, But yeah, I mean, Schwabe made some amazing, amazing saves. There's no taking that away. But I think, I believe it was this, I want to say the second finish in particular, when it, all he has to do is get the ball a foot off the ground, and it's a goal. And I just think, you know, was it a great save? Certainly was. But I don't think it would have been a great save if Silas's finish was better.
Yeah. There was the one attempt too that, he's a striker, so I shouldn't blame him for this, but Nairumi Ahamada was sprinting down the other side, and had he just kind of tapped it over, it was going to be an open netter. That's not the way Silas plays, though. He's going to shoot the ball when he gets that chance.
He had Ahamada open on that one, and then there was another one. He had Pfeiffer 10 feet away from him, and Silas is looking right at Pfeiffer and takes the shot anyway. Yeah. And so I don't know if he's trying to look the keeper off. And I get he's a striker who wants to score goals, but
I think Schwabe got kind of lucky. They were great saves, but there's a lot of luck involved with those two. Unlike the Mueller save, which was just an outstanding play. There was no reaction, just an outstanding play on his part.
And I guess that's why I was okay with the draw, because even though Stewart came out on fire, it just seemed like the longer that match went where we didn't score a goal. Yeah, Cologne was probably a little flat-footed because they were coming off the Thursday match, but they were going to get into it. They were at home. They had the fans support and all that stuff. And if Schwabe got lucky, we got lucky too. That goal line clearance by Dino at the very end of the first half, I mean, Florian had that fantastic save at the end of the second half. There was an amazing free kick by Cologne that Hector whiffed on and basically connected. There was nobody in his way. So that's why I guess I'm okay with the draw. I tend to think, I don't know. I'm sticking to my guns. Every goalie we play is the world's greatest goalie and should be playing for Germany in their fancy new kits they just released today. Matt, did you see those kits, by the way?
I did. I like them.
I like the red-ish away one. I am not a fan of the vertical stripe one.
Not a good
pick. The vertical stripe is not designed for the American fan market for sure, but I think the guys are going to be looking sharp and I'm out on the field.
We're horizontal stripes or nothing around these
players. You know what's funny about that draw is I can see it where both squads feel like they should have won, but both squads feel like a draw was fair. I mean, on paper, in the game, before the game, you'd think, okay, Cologne's tired. But Sauce is missing. Hopefully, in my point of view, hopefully Sosa's gone too. That's what I was hoping on the inside. But then you have the red card. We're upper man for basically the entire second half, most of the second half. On paper, I felt like we should have taken advantage of that and had the win. But you're watching the game and you're still holding your breath like, yeah, but we didn't play well. So we should have won on paper, but we should have lost based on how the play was during the game. So in reality, I guess the draw is fair. And if you're on your side, you know, you outplayed us, but you're down a man. So you're happy for the draw because you're down a man, but you're upset because you actually played better, you know?
Yeah, it's one of the things Matt and I have been talking about really for a whole season and a half is if we bring this same effort against the next team that we play, the results will start to show up. And we've been saying that for a year and a half, and we're still waiting for the results to show up. Now, let's talk about two other big moments in the match. One were the injuries to Cologne. So you guys had to shuffle around your lineup a bit. We'll get to the severity of those towards the end of this segment. But the other one was the red card fun that took place. So Matt, Luca Fiver gets one of the most obvious red cards you're going to get, tackles somebody from behind in the Achilles. Just came out this morning that he's going to be banned for 3 more matches. So he's going to miss every match until the international break. So that's Schalke, Bayern Munich, and also the Frankfurt match. So he's gone. And then Pellegrino Matarazzo, who has been showing a lot of emotion lately, got 2 yellow cards for arguing with the referee, and he got booted from the game in the 72nd minute or so. It'll be interesting to see what kind of penalty they give Pellegrino, because the video clearly showed he hadn't left the stadium. He hadn't left the bench, really. He was still in communication with the coaches. So we'll have no Fiver for next week. We'll have no Pellegrino next week. Matt, how significant? I mean, it's a silly question, right? The red card, was that the game changer?
The entire team lost composure once that red card came out. And that the most frustrating part of the game to me was after a fantastic first half that just lacks in finishing, is the entire second half was flailing and disaster and people overreacting, and it was just crap. And Matarazzo just moving into the stands after he got his second yellow, that's kind of a baller move. And then he's on his cell phone. It's like, is he calling down to the guys on the bench to keep coaching from there? And the announcer kept saying, like, I don't know if this is allowed. But I've been watching professional soccer for a decade plus, and I've never seen anything like that happen before.
Yeah, it's neat to have him show emotion and all that stuff, but you're absolutely right, because Carrizo came on and he immediately got a yellow card. Enzo Malou came on and he immediately got a yellow card. I haven't seen the Stuttgart players kind of lose their cool like this before. And Jeff, you and I were talking during the match that these two teams are traveling to Texas together in November. And based on the way they played that last 30 minutes, they may not want to.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to Texas like Christmas as a 7-year-old. And I really hope they still plan on making this trip, you know. and this is a side note, but Matarazzo, you know, you've got 3 points after 4 match days. You got 2 of your next 3 games, in my opinion, you have to get at least 4 points. You got to beat Schalke, and you got to at least have a draw against a kind of a depleted, in a way, Frankfurt squad. And, you know, Matarazzo, I think, will be okay. But these squads, I mean, you're throwing out yellow cards right and left. I'm like, are they going to want to make a trip together?
I know.
And I guess that begs the question, too, since we're talking about the cards. And honestly, I need to get educated on this. Like, we were kind of joking around, like, Matarazzo is basically 10 feet behind the bench, and he's not talking to his wife on the phone. So what's the point of kicking out a coach, and what kind of penalty will be given down? Now, I hope it's not one of those. And I was reading some things on the Cologne site, like, oh, you know, we need to protest that game and that's a win. I'm like, no, please stop. You know, the coaching at that point does not make that much of a difference. Let's not go there. But I wonder, though, about that red card on Fiver, and talk about an enormous loss, because you guys were just saying how you want to see what he can do. He's basically the new Sosa filling in. And now you've missed this guy for three games, and 2 of them you have to win. And if you take away Sosa during that time, that's pretty ugly. Now, it was a legitimate red card. There's no question about that. But right. I still don't see what makes that a 3-game suspension. Like, was it an obvious foul? 100%, the easiest red card you're going to give. But I didn't see anything so egregious where it's 3 games on top of that. Maybe someone can explain that to me. Like, why is that worth a 3-game suspension?
I don't know the answer to that either. I know a couple of years ago, there's a player, Emilia Insua, for us, who got a 5-game ban for raising his spikes were, I think, above his waist or something like that in a dangerous play. I don't quite get it either. It definitely had an impact on the match. Hopefully it doesn't impact the matches going forward. Let's wrap it up with this. I'll start, Matt, with you first. A draw, fair or foul?
It's fair. As well as we played in the first half, we played poorly in the second. Everybody lost their composure. I think even the ref kind of lost his composure. I was thinking in the first half, this is a really well officiated game, which is not something we had last week with Dr. Felix, who hates us. and this is kind of nice. And then the second half was just chaos. Yeah, I think the draw is fine. We should have finished. We should have done better. But we're also probably lucky to not have let one of those cold strikes that almost went in go in on us and walk away with another really, really unfortunate loss.
Right. Midwest Schweba on Twitter said, you know, last year, these were matches that we would lose. And sure enough, when we played Cologne last year, the first time around, Anthony Modeste had a goal, despite being guarded by five different people in the 86th minute or something like that. You got to get points. I'm going to say it's a fair draw. When Thielemann hit that strike, he was trying to get his second goal a week in as many weeks. I thought the game was going to be 1-0 Cologne. And then Mueller had an amazing save. He was the OFC man of the match by the members of the American Official Fan Club. So congratulations to Florian. That's your second man of the match award in this season in four games. Who would have thought about that?
I buy a keeper kit and the keeper lights on fire. It's amazing.
That's true. I do have a conclusion here. Is the XG for this game had Stuttgart at 2.1 and Cologne 2.6. The XG is expected goals, and it had a crazy bonkers week. It was 2-1 for Schalke in their match. They ended up losing 6-1. It was Bayern 3, Gladbach half. That was a 1-1 draw. Freiburg had a great match on Friday. It was supposed to be 4 goals for Freiburg to 1 for Bochum. It was 4, or it was ended up being 1-0. My conclusion on XG is, here's my hot take. XG is stupid. And I looked it up today to understand exactly what it is. And the first thing that came up when I Googled XG was, it's a Japanese girl band in Korea that does pop music. So, and I actually enjoyed that more than the actual explanation of what XG is. It just seems like, I think we should move away from this XG thing, Matt.
Here's a theory. I think that the XG from the Bundesliga games is the estimation by the Japanese girl band of how many goals should have been scored.
That's as good as
me. XG is deciding the XG, and that's why it's all okay.
That's probably the best explanation you can have for that.
We've been trying to find a podcast sponsor for a while. Maybe if I reach out to the band XG.
Wow.
Do it.
That would be our new moneymaker right there. All right. So one of the conclusions we have is that XG is pretty stupid. Before we move on and we ask Jeff about how Cologne is going to look the rest of the season and get some of his thoughts on Stuttgart, at least before the international break. Matt, anything else you want to touch on in the match before we move on? So
I do, Jeff. I know you're a medical professional. I want to get your professional opinion on the fact that Cologne had a player, Chabot, running around for most of the game with a actively bleeding head wound and was not subbed off until he hurt his ankle early in the second half.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I forgot about that, but there was...
Well, you know what's funny is that was probably a pretty selfish move to leave him in the game. You know, we had talked about a little bit the depth of our squad, and even before now we're missing these four players, coming off a game on Thursday, we don't have a lot of depth to begin with. I was less concerned about the blood and more concerned about the fact he just knocked his head. And forget about the bleeding part, obviously is an issue. And I think that whether it's a cut or whatever, you can wrap up. But the fact of the matter is, he's got to keep using his head the rest of the game. He should have come off the pitch the second that happened. He had this enormous bowl on his head the rest of the game that he kept kind of bleeding through, you know. So here's your sign. They should have subbed him off right away. I mean, you know, the magic spray only works so well. I think it only works on, you know, torn ACLs and MCLs and things like that. I don't know if it works so well on head gashes, you know.
By my count, they replaced his head bandage 3 different times.
Yeah.
I was so astonished by this that I started keeping track. And the very first touch he had after they wrapped him up the first time, he just booted the ball off into like the two teams' benches. And there was nobody anywhere near there. I'm convinced the guy was not sure where he was at that point.
Listen, Matt, that's not abnormal. Okay. I mean, I know that you want to blame that on the head injury, but that's watch more cologne games. All right. Do you understand what
that's just how he rolls.
But the fact of the matter is, though, I remember it showed him once, they wrapped it up super good. They took like probably 3 or 4 minutes to do so. And the next time they showed him, he had blood all the way down his face, down his nose, into his mouth. I'm like, I think that guy needs stitches, you know?
It was crazy. I remember I texted one of you guys. I was like, I figured out what Stuttgart's game plan is. We're trying to actively kill every Cologne player that's out there. Because a few minutes after that, I think Dino knocked out one of your other players. And so that guy actually had to be removed. But it made sense because the guy that Dino knocked out had a leg injury, not a head injury. And apparently he was able to take care of it somehow. But that was a physical contest. And I forgot about the guy with the bloody head that was playing almost the whole match.
When if you get blood on your jersey, they make you go off the pitch and change your jersey.
Right.
But if you have blood streaming down your face,
you're good.
Just doesn't register to me. I don't get it.
There's a lot of things we don't get. I think that's a legitimate one that we don't understand, whereas the other ones we're just ignorant, too lazy to look it up.
That's fair.
I think this one is, you're kind of like, wait, we come from the land of the NFL. We're not exactly sensitive to anything. And even we are like, get this guy a Band-Aid or something. Speaking of Band-Aids, Jeff, like we said, you've lost 4 players going into the next month, basically. Mm-hmm. You've got a heavy schedule the next month. You've got 3 Bundesliga matches, Wolfsburg, Union, and Bochum. You've got 2 Europa Conference games. You're going to have to travel for those. So how do you see these next 5 matches going for you guys?
It's going to be tough. I mean, you're going to have to, we have little depth. Now we just lost 2 defenders and 2 midfielders, one of which was more of a defensive midfielder. And you guys saw with the last game, we don't have a very good defense to begin with. So we're going to have to really, substitute players, move people around. I always have a hard time figuring out, obviously our club is not used to playing in Europa League. And so I have a hard time figuring out really to the fans and to the players, what is more important. Obviously, I think when you're a yo-yo club, I think they call it an elevator club, up and down, up and down, up and down, you've got to get these points in the league when you can. I mean, I would like to think, and I could be foolish, that we would focus more on, Wolfsburg, as you mentioned. I think we got to get some points there. Certainly with Bochum, you got to come away with 3 points there. And, and Europa obviously is important, but gosh, I mean, where do you put your focus on? Where do you rest your starters and some of your stars? At what point do you sub them in? I mean, I think they're going to have to play everybody at least, I would say, at least 30, 45 minutes, a game and rest players. Like, you got the rest Hector, he's going to be running all around. Skiri goes, that guy runs more than anybody, I think, in the league. So they're going to be tired, and it's up to Bumgarn and, to really, give these guys some rest because every game is important.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you guys do going forward. But you know what? This is a VfB Stuttgart fan podcast. This isn't a Cologne podcast. So I think we're done talking to you about
well, that makes sense. I get it.
How about this, Jeff, though? Do you want to stick around and join us for part 2 where we do some news and headlines?
No. No.
Well, too bad. All right, here we are in part 2, news and headlines. We're keeping Jeff with us because Matt and I just do this, but Jeff wanted to leave, and we're not going to let him pull a Kalijic on us. We're not going to let him go, Matt. We're going to keep him around here. So let's deal
with like Sasa, I won't say a word. I'll just step in the background and fade away.
The first big news is that Borna Sosa is waiting for a move to Atalanta. I know I said that absolutely incorrect. I thought at first he was going to the Atlanta Hawks or the Atlanta Braves to play in the United States. He's in fact on a way to the Italian league to join the 4th team in the Serie A. The clubs have agreed, the team and Borna have agreed to terms, but now the clubs have to agree. We're looking to get somewhere around 18 million euros plus some bonuses for this. Matt, any thoughts on Borna? Everything's got to happen by Thursday, September 1st. That's when the window closes.
I hope they get it done. I like Sosa a lot, but he has expressed ambition and moving on to another club. Atalanta is a club that does really well, that's got European ambitions, and it'd be kind of cool to see Borna Sosa getting to play in Champions League and get that experience, get some more exposure. This makes a lot of sense for him from a World Cup standpoint. He's going to want to be a major part of the Croatian national team, and a move to Atalanta will help give him a little bit higher profile, maybe get him some more assists if he's got strikers that can put the ball in the net. I get it. It stinks to lose him, but I get the motivation on his end, and you know, no ill will. I hope he does well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It stinks for us because we don't have a replacement for Kalajic, so to speak, but we do have strikers. I don't think we have a left wing back like Borna Sosa anywhere that we can just pull out of our pocket. It'll be interesting to see. Jeff, let me get your thoughts on this, and then Matt will wrap up with Borna Sosa with you. Who do you think is going to have a more successful run? Do you think it's going to be Kalajic in the Premier League or Borna Sosa in the Italian League?
Well, you know, Kalajic, I think, will have the obvious stat, the more goals scored. But I don't feel like there's been a more dangerous player in your squad in a long time than Borna Sosa. If there's one person as a competitor I'd want to take out of your lineup, it would be Borna Sosa, even before Kalajic. And I think Kalajic is a fantastic finisher. He's a great striker. He's going to score some goals. But I really do believe that Sosa, of the two of them, is probably the more all-around dangerous player. He's the one guy I would fear the most. And like I said earlier, that, you know, when I heard he was possibly moving to Atalanta and maybe he wasn't going to play, once I saw the lineup come out, he was the first name I looked for. I'm like, oh man, Sosa's playing today. That guy's dangerous. I think that it's, like I said, he's going to cause some havoc, and he's going to get some, as Matt said, some very good exposure. He's a fantastic player. This is great for his career. I mean, and like you said, it's like the Stockton Malone of the NBA. You want to see those two guys play together for the next 10 years and you hopefully get that dream scenario where at the end of their careers, they both come back and for Stuttgart for one more season kind of thing. But you know, that's kind of one of those fairy tale kind of things, but no, this is a good move, I think, for both sides. I think, you know, Stuttgart will get, you know, 20 or so million out of it. And Sosa will go on to a squad that will play in the Champions League, and it's good for both parties.
Yeah. Matt, what do you got?
He'll do great. Both of them will do great, I think. I think Sosa will probably do a little bit better, because even though I said earlier that the defenses aren't quite as physical in the Premier League, I'm not sure they play defense at all in the Italian League. So that'll benefit Borna Sosa. The one thing I think would really benefit Sosa is if somebody taught him to shoot. Because just in this last game, there were two or three opportunities where he had clear chances that the right option was to shoot, and he forced a bad cross instead. So I think he'll make that adjustment, but I agree with Jeff. I think he's been the most dangerous player on our team for the last season and a half.
Yeah, I hope they both do really well. I think Borna Sosa is the one who's going to have statistically the better run. From my take of the Italian league, it's a little bit more of stop start, and his free kicks, I think, can be so dangerous in that situation. He plays such a unique position, though. I'm interested to see, he's not a true fullback by any sense of the man. I mean, he's more of an offensive wing back, and I don't know enough to know how many teams actually play that type of style. So it'll be interesting to see how he does there. But this goes to one of the questions we have this week. Flabby Viking, a frequent asker of questions to the show, probably shouldn't, because we don't have very good answers for you, Flabby. He says, our attack is as toothless as an old meth addict. Well said. Well said. Replacement goes and gets himself suspended. Is it Juan Pereira time? Do we give Castanheiras a shot, the kid from the youth program? Or do you think Sven brings in another striker? Matt, of those three options, which one do you think is the most likely?
Well, the formation we've been playing lately, we need two guys up top, right? So I think Pereira and Castaneros both make a lot of sense. If Tomáš can get healthy and get back, he's the obvious person to slide in there. But if we don't see him, we're going to need two guys. Of the two of them, I put Pereira on top because he's been the one getting more playing time lately. But who knows? Matarazzo will spin the wheel of doom, and whoever's name lands on it will get in the lineup.
I'm bullish on this Pereira kid. I've really liked what I've seen when he's been in there. But I know a lot of people really want Castaneros to get in there. He's 6'1". He's played in the Stuttgart youth system. There was rumors he might leave, but we were able to keep him. At some point, you got to play him, or else, why did he say? Mislintat, though, will probably bring somebody in. He's got the talent to do it. There's rumors that there's a kid in Turkey that we're looking to get. But I bet Sven brings somebody in. Gives Matarazzo some more toys there. Speaking of more, we've got one more segment. It's part three, where we look forward to the future. Schalke and Stuttgart. This is so stupid. All right. I don't even think I'm going to edit that part out. Here we go. Part three. All right. We have two winless clubs that are going to be facing off against each other next Saturday in Stuttgart. 109 total matches between these two. Schalke leads 46 wins to 45 for Stuttgart. So this is a really close one. These teams average 3 goals per contest. So historically, there's a lot of goals. The last game these two played was when Schalke was getting relegated, and Stuttgart won that one 5-1. But in the last 8 matches, Stuttgart only has 1 win. So Schalke pretty much dominates this one. They're coming off a 1-6 loss versus Union Berlin. Based on the XG, they didn't play that bad, but the results looked really bad. These are 2 winless clubs, 3 points hosting 2 points. Our old friend Simone Tirota is in. Jeff, I'm going to start with you from the outside looking in. What are your thoughts about the big match on Saturday?
It is a must win. There's no question about it. There's no moral victories. There's no, this guy looked good. We're happy to get a draw. You have to get 3 points out of that game. There's no question about it, because you're going to look back as the season marches on, the second half, and the points that you should have had, could have had, would have had, and it's got to come this week against Schalke, 100%.
Matt, agree or disagree?
No argument. If we get beaten by Schalke, we're going to have to spend some time looking in the mirror and asking really hard questions.
I'm scared to death of this match. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a match that on paper we should win, but Schalke's losses, even this one against Union Berlin, which was a just horrible one, statistically, they haven't played terrible. If not for Simone Tirota missing 2 penalty kicks, they win 1 game. They're playing hard. Their roster is not impressive, but our team is always missing chances. We run into some goalkeeper, like I said, who plays the game of his life. We don't know if Borna Sosa will be there. We know Kalajic won't be there, which I think actually is addition by subtraction now, just because that whole thing is gone. The distraction is gone. Pellegrino's not going to be on the sideline. So Matt, like you said, it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact that has. I'm scared to death of this one. Matt, what do you think the odds makers have this one at? Who is the underdog?
Well, it depends. Is Reno going to be allowed to sit in the stands with his cell phone and call down to the sidelines, or is he stuck up in the press box?
I got a feeling we're not going to see Reno make the trip to Munich, is what I think. I think he's going to get suspended for a bit.
That would not surprise me at all. I'm going to bet that they're Stuttgart minus a goal.
Jeff?
I would say minus 1, yeah.
It is Stuttgart minus 0.5 goal. So it's pretty close here, but it's the usual traveling team advantage. So Schalke is the underdog. You're getting 0.5 goal in this one. Jeff, I'm going to let you lead off from the outside looking in. Now, you are 3-1 with your picks for Stuttgart, as is Matt. I'm only 2-2. So, Jeff, I'm going to let you lead off. It's a 0.5 goal differential. Who you got in this one?
Stuttgart will win by 2 goals, so I'm going to take Stuttgart minus the 0.5.
Love the confidence. Matt, why is he wrong?
Because Stuttgart's going to win by one goal. It'll be 2-1. We won't be able to keep the clean sheet, but we're still going to take home the victory.
I think that was our first clean sheet, I don't know, this decade. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to get it. I am going to take Stuttgart as well. I think it'll be a 2-1 nail biter once again. If Florian Mueller is the man of the match for the OFC voters again, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point. And I don't mean to rip on Florian at all, because if not for him, we probably have 0 points. But the amount that we've relied on him, I'm nervous. I'm really nervous about this match, but I'm also very excited because this is a new era for this team, so to speak. Kalajic has been on this with this club for 60 some games. Borna Sosa, I think, has been either that many or right around, maybe a little bit more. We're definitely starting a new chapter. And Matt, you and I have talked about how in a weird way we knew these guys were going to leave and how fun it would be to see how Reno could strategize, game plan, and come up with some kind of attack with new toys, new players. And he's going to have to do that. Maybe he's going to be doing that from the sideline this week, but it's going to be kind of a fun new era. And hopefully we can get it started with a win on Saturday.
It's going to be really interesting to see how we line up, how the strategy changes. We can't rely on the Sosa to Sosa ping pong ball anymore. A lot of things to look forward to. We should learn a lot about this team.
Yeah, Jeff, we'll wrap it up with you here. Your club, Cologne, is traveling to Wolfsburg, a team that is struggling right now. You're getting half a goal on the road. You finally get a week off. You don't have to play Europa League this week. How you feeling going into that for any Cologne fans that are listening to this amazing podcast?
Again, as always, I'm cautiously pessimistic. I do feel like we're probably going to drop that game 2-1. So I'm going to have to take probably Wolfsburg minus the half a goal. Let me ask you a quick question. I know this is your thing, but one of my favorite players actually of all time since I've been watching the Bundesliga is Simon Terodde. I'm actually kind of, to be honest with you, looking forward to seeing him. You know, he's been in the second division now for a few years, you know, with Schalke, obviously. He played for both of our clubs at one point. He's actually one of my favorite players, really, of all time. I think if I were to go back and really think about who I enjoyed watching play and who I root for, it's that guy. So I had a 3-1 VfB Stuttgart victory. I hope that one goal comes from T-Rod 100%.
Yeah, let me take this one first, and then Matt will let you. I don't like getting kits with players' names on the back. And it's just because there's so much movement in the league, and I'm at that age where I root for the club more than the player. Because of Simon Terodde's just his legendary status as a second league player, his struggles with the first league, the role he played in helping both of our clubs get promoted, I would definitely get a Simon Terodde kit for Stuttgart or Cologne. You just root for the guy. He hasn't scored in 4 matches so far. He missed the 2 penalty kicks. It's funny because the first match he played for Stuttgart when we were promoted, before we sold him to you guys, Jeff, he also missed a penalty kick that match. It's just weird how some guys, I hope Schalke sticks with him, because I would love for him to have one good year in the league to prove that he can do it. I hope it's not next Saturday against our club, though. Matt, final thoughts on Simone?
I love Terodde. He was such an awesome guy for us to have in the second division. I felt really bad when things kind of fell apart for him the following year after we were promoted. And he's the dude you just want to do well, because he's out there playing hard. He's trying hard. He always gives whatever team he's on everything he's got. And he's just seems like such a good guy and such a good teammate. I would love to see him get one goal as long as Stuttgart score two.
Yep. Terodde is a legend in the second division. I'm hoping he has a lot of luck in the first division. Next match against whoever they're playing after Stuttgart, though. So that is our podcast for today. A lot of news, a lot of just fantastic broadcast quality here. Jeff, as we sign off, any last thoughts, any last words?
This is my first time on this pod with Matt, and I actually really enjoyed talking with Matt. It's like voice is so silky smooth, man. Matt, you're carrying this podcast, buddy. I'll tell you right now.
I like how you qualified it, where you said you actually liked Matt.
No, I do. This is the first time I've actually been on the pod with Matt.
You fully expected to not like Matt.
No, I mean, you know, he's a Stuttgart guy. I thought he'd be kind of a jerk, you know? No. No, I enjoyed myself. It was fun. Thanks for having me on again.
No, it was great to have your perspective from a Cologne point of view. Matt, any last words or thoughts as we just end this? It's almost like you are the Borna Sosa to Jeff's Sasha Kalajic right here.
I'm already gone, Matt.
Travis, you could not have put it any better. Jeff, was an absolute pleasure to get to talk to you today. A lot of fun. Always good to have a good measured perspective of the team that we played against. So it's fun to get your perspective on Cologne. And I just, one more question before we leave. Is Chabot still bleeding?
Yes. Yes, he is. He's getting continuous blood transfusions as we speak.
He's still practicing too.
Yes. Wrap him up, send him on the pitch.
He's practicing headers.
Exactly. As we wrap up this episode of the podcast, we're going to go check and see if that poor guy is still alive. All right, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me this week. We'll talk to you next time, hopefully after a big Stuttgart win. See ya.
Thanks, guys.